Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and on the new 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas, taking you through a Friday afternoon. We'll get you into your Friday evening as well. And in just a moment, we're going to catch up with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. But before we talk to Rosie, we want to remind you that when we wrap up with Rosie, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Indians take on the White Sox on September the 4th. That's just after Labor Day, so wait for your cue to call, and we'll tell you what number to call to win. Rosie, a pleasure as always to have you on with us, my friend. Have you caught your breath at all from last night's game?
Not really, Andy. That was a... You know, it's funny. Sometimes you get all excited for what should be a big series against two evenly matched teams, and especially with the Indians coming off a doubleheader, and it falls flat a little bit. And it was kind of early on, it kind of felt like both teams were almost like boxers feeling each other out in the early rounds because there wasn't a whole lot happening. But, had that change in a hurry toward the end, and it really did. The crowd was great. The electricity in the ballpark was really, really good, and an exciting finish, and the Indians, of course, hung on for the win. But it did have that October feel last night.
Absolutely, and I don't want to stay on that for a moment because it was such a roller coaster ride. In games like that, do you get the sense it kind of becomes a bit of a war of attrition? I mean, you know, the Indians certainly had the early edge. They got exactly what they were looking for from Mike Clevinger. But as good as the Twins are, you know, they're not just going to fade. And they're such a dangerous team because they score their runs in bunches. Did you get the feeling that towards the end there, that just became one of those games the Indians had to survive?
Yeah, that's really what it was. And, I mean, gosh, Tito used four relievers in one inning, the eighth inning, to try and get it done. And leaned on Brad Hand a lot, and Hand was living on that tightrope in the ninth inning, but got it done. So, yeah, it really was. I mean, I don't know what they do for tonight for relievers who are rested because there's not any. But I guess you worry about that when you have a chance to win a game like they did. You do everything you can. And maybe the flip side to that, the extra add-on runs that they got, after they had four on the board, they quickly got two more, and you knew that would be big. And then the Naquin home run in the ninth inning really provided a cushion that made things not easier, but it certainly gave you some margin for error in the bottom of the ninth. So, yeah, it does. You know that every run is precious against the Twins. The more you can get, the better off you're going to be, and I think we saw that last night.
Yeah, the Naquin home run, 100% agreed, because the second he hit that, it felt like it had kind of halted all the momentum that Minnesota had developed in the bottom of the eighth inning. Now, of course, they didn't totally go away, but did you certainly get that feeling, Rosie, that the second he hit that home run, it took a lot of the momentum, maybe not all of it, but most of it away?
Well, it certainly quieted the crowd, and because it was... You're right. There was some serious momentum going, and they had this, their big reliever Trevor May. There was a big story in the paper yesterday how he's trying to throw 100 miles an hour. Well, he threw a 95 mile an hour fastball to Naquin, and Naquin lost it on him. And I think that was, just a great response by the Indians after the Twins had cut the lead. So, the ebbs and flows of a pennant race baseball game is pretty good last night.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to listen to. That was a lot of fun to watch, and I would imagine that was a ton of fun for you to call as well. And I want to stay with the bullpen for just a second here. One of the guys we didn't see last night, primarily because he pitched a couple of scoreless innings in the twin build the day before, was Nick Goody. And I know you had the opportunity to catch up with him before yesterday's game. Rosie, he's had such an incredible year. That slider has been fantastic throughout the course of the season. What are some of the elements that's made him so great this year?
You know, Bull, it's funny. My takeaway from our conversation was, and look, maybe he would have been fine had he not gone through the struggles early, but he was sent out toward the end of spring training to start his season at AAA because they just didn't feel he was ready yet in terms of his return from arm issues a year ago. And he went down to AAA Columbus and was awful. Those were his words. You know, he's just terrible. His ERA was almost 14, And, you know, he's starting to think about, what do I do next? And in terms of career choices, and you know, he said it didn't quite come to that, but it does start to enter the back of your mind. And he was really having a tough time, but it just sometimes when you get as low as you can go, and he felt that was about as low as he could be, you find a way to get back. And he felt that those struggles down at AAA, eventually turning it around, getting the opportunity here, have benefited him greatly. Just from the outlook perspective, he doesn't worry too much about, you know, if he has a bad outing, yes, it's his job, it's important, and it's important to the team, but he's not going to let it bother him the next day. And he's been much, much better at whether it's good or bad, leaving that game behind him. As he said, when it turns midnight, new day, whatever happened that day before is done. And then you just got to flush it. And he's been real good at that. And it's hard to argue with the results. He's been tremendous for the Indians. And, you know, there's a lot of keys to why the bullpen's been so good. And he's certainly one of them.
Safe to assume that because they had to use Brad Hand as much as they had to use him yesterday and even the day before in the first leg of the Twin Bill, if it's a tight ball game, you know, knowing the magnitude of this series, safe to say that they're probably not using Hand, and if it's a tight game, that Nick Goody may get the call in the ninth inning?
We had Hand after the game last night on the postgame show, and I asked him that. I said, you know, you ready to go the rest of the series? Or you might need a day. And he just kind of grinned, and then he said, oh, I'll be ready. And now Tito and Carl Willis might say, no, you're not. But, you know, what happens, Bull, you know, we look forward to these games, you know, fans, you and I. The players do too, and they want to be a part of it, regardless of whether your arm's falling off or not. But, look, he takes really good care of himself, and he loves the workload. And really, since the All-Star break, the Indians have been able to back away from him quite a bit, just the way games have gone. They haven't had to use him very much. So he may be ready to go today. Now, they might just say, look, let's try and get through a game without him. But I'm going to guess if it's a close ball game ninth inning, I think we'll see Brad Hand. But if not, maybe Nick Goody is that next weapon, because I think Nick Wickren might be down too today. He's had a heavy workload the last couple of days. They'll be mixing and matching tonight. It'll be a challenge to try and get through for sure.
Absolutely. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Don't forget, when we wrap up with Rosie, we're giving away two tickets to see the Indians and White Sox, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Rosie, earlier this week, you had the chance to catch up with Tribe Farm Director James Harrison. Were there some individuals that James Harris pointed out to you?
Oh, boy, Bull. It's been such a crazy week. I can't even remember what we were talking about. I think it was AA Akron. We were talking about, and I'm trying to think. I know he mentioned Eli Morgan as one of the pitchers who has done real well. And then another one they got back recently from Texas. And the reason I bring his name up is, you know, here's a bullpen arm, but a kid by the name of Nick Doughty, who they had lost in the Rule 5 draft last year. Well, Texas was unable to keep him in the major leagues all year, so they had to offer him back to the Indians. And the Indians jumped at the chance because he throws close to 100. And there were some command issues with Texas, but the Indians really, and we've seen it time and again, they feel that, and every team I think feels this way, but the Indians have had great success with it. Sometimes they can unlock some potential that they see in a pitcher that maybe is not readily apparent to another team. And I think they feel that way about him. So, that was an intriguing name to keep an eye on just because of the velocity readings. The other one, too, you know, he did touch a little bit on some players out in the Arizona Summer League, including the number one draft pick that the Indians had this year, Daniel Espino. He has been really good. Had another game, a good game last night. They bring pitching along very slowly. He was a high school drafted player, but they really love his arm. There's another kid who throws close to 100, and he's off to a real nice start. Now, he's a long, long way away. That's six rungs on the minor league ladder, and he's only 18 or maybe 19, but it's kind of fun that, you know, here's your number one draft pick, and And they're pretty darn excited about him, and the results have been there, and the performance has been there so far.
Yeah, it seems like there are a lot of young arms in the pipeline right now, going to be very exciting to see how they develop. And, well, speaking of flamethrowers, boy, Mike Clevinger is on an absolute roll right now. Rosie, it almost kind of seems like he's come back stronger after the injury, and I think we all kind of get lost in reading the radar gun. He was pumping it in there in the mid-90s consistently yesterday, but it really seemed like that changeup has worked wonders for him as well. You get the impression that that pitch has really kind of caught fire for him his last few starts?
Yes, and that was something that Carl Willis had mentioned. They're trying to work on with him because he'd been throwing it a little bit too hard. And bear in mind with him, I mean, he can throw his changeup at 90 and still get pretty good separation from his fastball because that's up in the upper 90s. But they're trying to soften it up a little bit. And Carl said the challenge is, with his current stuff, the fastball, the slider, and the curve, to add that fourth pitch, it's important, but you don't want to mess up the other good stuff. So they're real careful about how much they work on that changeup and how much time they devote to it because they don't want to take away from his other pitches. But you're right, last night he had a good one. And he certainly, I think he likes throwing it. Obviously he loves to throw hard, but he likes having that in his back pocket, and it seems to be getting better and better, which that's bad news for the rest of the American League because he's already pretty dominant.
Yeah, absolutely he is. Well, tonight the Indians hoping to get another dominant performance from Shane Bieber. He has been terrific as well. He's facing Devin Smeltzer tonight, a guy that hasn't pitched a whole lot in the big leagues this year. I think he's a little less than 30 innings on his inning total for the season so far. What do we know about Smeltzer?
Well, he's a guy who's come up, and when he has thrown for the Twins, it's been decent. The Indians saw him at home earlier this season, and he was just okay. But you know, I think we've seen with the Indians, they bring different pitchers up, and they've done really well. And the Twins are trying to build up that inventory, so to speak. And he's one of those guys that they may end up having to count on here between now and the end of the season. So, you know, he's had his major league debut, he was outstanding, and now the challenge for him is, as the book goes around on him, how does he adjust to the hitters along those lines? But we'll see what the Indians do. I know they got to him last time they faced him, and we'll see what happens tonight.
Certainly looking forward to it, game two of this series. And if the Indians win it tonight, of course, then they would be tied atop the division with the Minnesota Twins. My, how far this team has come over the last couple of months. Rosie, we appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to your call tonight.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You can catch Hammy and Rosie on the call tonight right here on AM 930 WEOL and the new 100.3 FM. Let's open up those phone lines. We have a couple of tickets to give away thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Real simple. All you have to do is call 440-322-0930. We'll take the second caller, 440-322-0930. Two tickets Wednesday, September 4th, Tribe, White Sox. The tickets are yours if you're the second caller. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. They're open every day of the year. Break time here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will come back with more fun and excitement right after this here on AM 930 WEOL and the new 100.3 FM.